League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's a Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio, and we begin the show with the image of a clapping David Beckham. I've got some good news for you from the Women's World Cup. It is England 1, Norway 0. A lovely little break down the right wing, a cracking delivery into the middle, and Jill Scott is on hand to turn it home in off the post. It's an early third-minute goal for the Lionesses. They go roaring on, as, by the way, the Tottenham Hotspur in the transfer market. It's a pleasure to be joined in the studio by Jamie Brown and Jamie Marshall of The Last Word on Spurs. 512, gents. 512 days since that last signing, Lucas Moura from PSG in January 2018. Is it about to be a new one?
Yeah, I mean, look, it seemed very close on Tuesday. Kind of the news broke that an agreement kind of was close to being reached, around £65 million. You know, Tango and Ndombele, I think we've said plenty of times on this show, he's the exact name that Spurs want. He's certainly in a position that we need to be strengthening. And if we can get him in, it's just, I think it'd be the absolute perfect start to the summer. And I think it would make whatever else happens a brilliant summer. But yeah, look, I think the president came out today from Lyon and kind of dismissed that a deal was close. But this is a guy that does like to do a lot of talking. I think we saw it with Ferland Mendy, who joined Real Madrid from Lyon earlier in the window. I know that Lyon came out and kind of denied it, didn't they? And then a few days later, he was a Real Madrid player. So for me, I take his comments with a pinch of salt. And I'm still remain optimistic.
I'd take the entire salt shaker if I were you.
Exactly.
Jamie Marshall, mind games aside, is Ndombele the man you need?
Without a doubt, yeah. I think we've got Sissoko as well in the middle. I think them two together are going to really sort of strengthen our midfield. Yeah. I think that's something we've been lacking recently, especially. Yeah. And also we got Winksy as well. Yeah. Coming back to full fitness, so yeah. I think it's looking good for our midfield.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, creative as well as powerful. That's the thing with Ndombele. We keep hearing these comparisons to a prime Moussa Dembele, the kind of midfielder who can smash a player, get up and play the pass. But let's talk about this posturing from Lyon. Jamie Brown, talk us through. I might just have to go for one and two, frankly, by the end of the show. Jamie Brown, talk us through what's been said.
So he's basically come out and it's very old comments. This guy, who he does a lot of talking, he's very much the opposite to Daniel Levy in terms of Daniel Levy is very quiet in his negotiating and kind of what's going on at the club. But Aulas is you know, he's always making comments on deals, and basically what he's come out and said is that Spurs have made an opening offer of €45 million. I think that was well documented that happened a very long time ago, and I do believe that negotiations are a lot further down than he is letting on. I think it's sensible. I think that in a way they're still, although they've got one replacement in, I think they got Gene Lucas from Brazil. A central midfielder, so they have got one replacement in, but I think they're looking at also Thiago Mendes from Lille. So I think that at the moment it's about they're waiting to get another replacement in, so just to save face.
I saw on your Twitter, Daily Hotspur, you got very, very excited when Lyon signed a central midfielder. You may have known a lot about Jean Lucas already. When I saw your tweet, I rather assumed that you'd Googled him going, please be a central midfielder, please be a central midfielder. And immediately the tweet was there. Yeah. Lyon have signed a midfielder. Do you think they'd have done that if they were holding on to Ndombele?
Well, potentially. It depends what their ambition was. I think he did come out and say, if we're close to signing a box-to-box midfielder, then potentially a deal is close with Ndombele. So, as I said, I do believe that there is, you know, he's holding something back a bit here. And my message to Spurs fans would, yeah, you've got to be just be cautious with what he says.
Okay, so cards on the table then. Jamie Marshall, do you think Spurs have made a bid?
Yeah, I think so.
How much do you think they bid?
Who knows?
65 million, we've, is
about,
it?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable as well.
So if they've bid 65,
sure.
What's the game being played here by Lyon? Because they're not saying... One thing the president could come out and say is Spurs have bid 65 and that's not enough. If you have bid 65, why is he talking about 45 mil?
I mean, maybe the other issue I'd say is maybe that they're trying to get other clubs involved. I know that Real Madrid, although they've kind of been in and out of whether they're interested in him, I guess maybe it's just to kind of spark them into life and kind of make a move. I think that they're looking at deals for Paul Pogba at the moment. That's going to cost in the region about £130 million, isn't it? So I think that Dombele is kind of a similar player to Paul Pogba and certainly a cheaper alternative.
Is there a possibility here that what's actually happened is that the Lyon president is telling the truth and Daniel Levy has gone full Daniel Levy and bid half the asking price?
Yeah, I think also as well, I think it may be that the agent's getting involved. Because obviously,
maybe.
He knows Tottenham don't pay top dollar for their players. Mm. So he might be just trying to get other teams interested as well.
Yeah.
We've heard rumours circling today that United were in for Wan-Bissaka. United, are probably going to get him. That Spurs might have been in for him as well, but wouldn't go higher than 40 million. Now, whether or not that's true, are you worried that if another team were to come in from Dombele, you would find your president going, well, too rich for my blood?
Well, I think in a way, a lot of the reports were saying that he was kind of making his mind up over whether it was Juventus, PSG, Manchester United or Real Madrid that he's going and Spurs. And to be honest, to be considered in that bracket, I think that that's a real statement for where the club is going. But I think that potentially he's trying to get other clubs involved. And I would be slightly worried, but to be honest, I think that it's clear that he's the number one target this summer. I think a lot of the reports are saying Pochettino was given the Champions League money and he decided that Dombele is the guy that he wants to go and spend the majority of those funds on, the 60 to 70 odd million pounds.
So Jamie Marshall, if the Champions League money has gone on in Dombele, are we now looking at a situation where it's sell to buy for Tottenham?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously Tottenham they're notorious for not spending loads of money. We've seen it in previous years. And I think possibly the sale of Eriksen could make way for another few transfers like Lo Celso maybe. Because I think they're two fairly similar sort of players.
I'm interested by this with Lo Celso, who someone will come on to in a bit more depth later in the show. Mm. But initially, I for one had assumed that Spurs would be going for him as a replacement for Eriksen if they were forced to sell the Dane. But the reports we're hearing now is that Spurs are looking to potentially actively try to sell Eriksen to fund a move for Lo Celso. Do you believe that?
No, I do believe if there is every chance that Spurs can keep Christian Eriksen at the club, I do believe we will. To be honest, I think we've seen that the Giovanni Lo Celso links have died down somewhat. And, of course, there's the news coming out from Marca in Spain that... that Eriksen's no longer even the number two option behind Paul Pogba. It's Donny van de Beek of Ajax that they're now going for instead.
That's weird, isn't it? I mean, they're very different players.
It's odd. Yeah, I do find that odd because Donny van de Beek's obviously a different player, isn't he? Yeah. As is Paul Pogba to Eriksen. So I find it weird that they're kind of looking at those three as similar players because they're just not. But I do believe that... the Celso links are dying down slightly because I think that Eriksen... I think he's losing Real Madrid a bit. I think that they are starting to look elsewhere. So, yeah, I do think there could be a positive outcome for Eriksen this summer.
As a final note on Ndombele, we've all watched the many compilations of his best bits, which have been doing the rounds on social media. Mm. And if you watch them, he looks superb.
Yeah,
but if you edit my 2 minutes of finest footballing moments ever, I actually look like a decent central midfield player. And I can promise you for a fact that I'm not. When you look at other players who've come from Ligue 1 recently, if we look at Jean-Michel Seri, who signed for Fulham, everyone thought they'd got a Rolls Royce of a player, and it turned out they'd actually bought a Ford Fiesta. Are you a bit worried that you might be being sold a dud?
No, I don't think so. He's obviously had a lot of Champions League experience. Mm. He knows what he's doing. I think he's going to be one of the top players in the Premier League next season if we do sign him. Mm. So, I'm really excited. Yeah. If we do sign him.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good point about the Champions League. I think he had that game against Man City, didn't he? Where he went to the Etihad and was absolutely superb. And he was I'm sure they got a result from that game, Leon, if I'm correct off the top of my head.
I can't remember.
So I think that he certainly proved himself there. He's now a guy that's broken into the French national team. And of course, they're defending world champions. So that's kind of a real statement. And you look at their central midfielders, Pogba, Kante. So they've got a real depth of really quality central midfielders. So I think it shows you that he's right up there. But also his stats. I mean, he's got 7 assists. That's more than any central midfielder in France. He created 72 chances last season for Lyon. That was the most for them. So
what are the strikers doing? 72 yeah, chances, 7 assists.
Yeah. So I think that one thing I would say is he's a lot more than just the strength and everything else.
And if you get him, as it's looking like you will, you're going to be very well stocked in the central midfield area. Mm. Jamie Marshall, you pointed out that this is adding into a mix that already includes Sissoko and Winks. Might you be a bit too well stocked? What happens to Wanyama and Eric Dier?
Mm. Yeah, to be honest, I think we're a bit overstocked if we do sign Ndombele, and I can't see Wanyama's future at the club being... Well, I can't see his future at the club at all, really. Mm. I think his fitness has been a bit...
Yeah.
He's not really reliable enough. Dier, the same. I can't see us selling Dier, to be honest. Wanyama more so.
I think you're correct there. I think Wanyama's obviously had these knee issues. And obviously, a couple of years ago, he was outstanding. I think his first year, he was absolutely outstanding for us.
Yeah,
And he came back, didn't he, as well this year? And he has a few promising performances, but I think the knee issues have kind of been have really just hampered him a bit. I do believe, as I have to agree with Jamie there, I think that Wanyama will go. I think Dier will stay. There's been certainly a lot of debate on this show as whether we might move Dier on, but I think given his versatility, because he can obviously offer you a centre back, holding midfielder, potentially even right back. So I think given. And that's what Pochettino really likes, having those sort of versatile players in his team. So I think Dier will stay.
How important is the fact that Dyer's homegrown?
Yeah, very. Of course, yeah, very. I mean, we've struggled to fill the quota, and I think we're looking to bring in some more. The likes of Sessegnon, Jack Clark, I'm sure we'll get into in a minute. There's definitely a clear need to produce these players. Or keep these players that are homegrown. So, because, we had issues in the Champions League squad last year. So,
Well, as you rightly point out, we all love a creative European playmaker, stylish, flown in from France, but also a bit of northern scrapping doesn't go amiss either. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
Jack Clark's been having a lovely day out in London. Apparently saw all the sights, Buckingham Palace, London Eye, had a nice bit of lunch, headed home to Leeds. No other reason for being here, I assume?
Well, I think he might be about to break Spurs' long-awaited transfer, wait for a transfer. So, it's certainly looking very promising with Jack Clark. It looks like he'll be the first man through the door. I think the fee's kind of in between £8 to £10 million, I think depends on add-ons. For me, that's an absolute steal for a player like that. He is slightly inexperienced. I think it was 25 appearances last season for Leeds. He did start just 5 and he got 2 goals and 2 assists. But funnily enough, he is a guy that I have mentioned on the show a while ago, a guy that I did want to see come in. And as we said before the break, I think it's important adding those homegrown players.
But on that homegrown front, let's be honest about this. If he's Italian, if he doesn't fill that quota, do you sign him?
I think you do. I mean, it's the same with Ndombele. It just depends. If it's, potentially with Jack Clark, I maybe not. I think he's certainly a guy that they see as clear potential. I think he was very good at Leeds last year. He showed some very promising signs. And he's kind of in a position that we do need to strengthen. I think you'd agree, Jamie, that we need more forwards as well, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. You saw it in the Champions League, especially last year.
Yeah.
We just lacked so much squad depth, which other teams like City, yeah, Liverpool, they
exactly.
all had.
Exactly. So and he's a left winger and a right winger, so he's kind of, again, he's a versatile player, can play on either flank. And I think that, as we just said, it's important that we do add another forward this year. Maybe question marks over Lamella's future. I don't know what you think about Lamella, Jamie.
I'm actually a big fan of Lamella.
Yeah.
I like how sort of he didn't care. He don't mind getting a yellow card.
Yeah. No, he's
in big games.
But it sometimes
well.
Looks like he doesn't really care about playing either, Jamie, which is a slight problem.
He's a guy that you can come off the bench and point
a
shift.
He's an impact player. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He's a guy that will come in and give his all towards the end of games. I think we saw it on plenty of occasions. Last year, he came off the bench against Barcelona, Liverpool, and scored in both games. So he's certainly shown that he can have an impact off the bench. But the issue is with Lamella, I think, is he's not good enough for the starting 11. So that makes him a squad player. And the issue is with a squad player, he needs to always be available. Mm. And of course, I think he's got such a poor injury... injury track record that maybe it's time to let him go. I don't know what you think.
I mean, yeah, I get your point. He's hardly ever available. Mm. We may need to look at sort of selling him, but
yeah.
I think his technical ability is so good when he is fit. And I think that's something that other teams, I think, struggle with quite a lot when he is playing.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So I think Jack Clarke may sort of be the similar sort of player as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think Poch working with him will really sort of similar with Lamella when he joined, get his confidence up, make some more first team appearances with Spurs.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's looking like when Clark arrives rather than if. Mm. So I'll say when. When he turns up, how much football are you actually expecting him to play?
Yeah, look, it is an interesting one. You kind of maybe hope that he'd go back to Leeds on loan and get some experience or another Premier League club. But as we've said, we need depth in this squad. And I think that the talk is that Pochettino said, I think Leeds kind of looked into getting a loan back deal. But I think Pochettino's kind of said, no, I want to hit this guy in my squad. And it is important because we on so many occasions last year, we were just struggling for options. And we just need as many as we possibly can get. And I don't think we're in a position where we can be spending money and loaning players out. Unless they're like the Kione Tete that we signed from Notts County recently for 250k.
Yeah, slightly different to 13 mil.
Someone like that. So that's the sort of player that I'd maybe say, yeah, of course you can go out on loan. But with Jack Clarke, I think he's a guy that you need to be keeping around the squad to have options.
With him staying, is he going to have the shadow of Dele Alli hanging over him? In the sense that the last time Spurs signed a young lad from the lower leagues who no one expected anything from, turned out he was, and I quote, better than Ertzil.
Oh, yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it, if that happened?
Well, I think also Spurs have obviously got a fantastic track record of signing these players from the Football League. I think we saw Gareth Bale, and we've had plenty of others down the years. Aaron Lennon, another one who we even signed from Leeds, a winger from Leeds.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that Spurs have done quite a lot in the past of where we've identified players lower down. And I think we've had great success with it. So I think in a way it's great that we're kind of going back into that sort of pool of players. And Ryan Sessegnon, probably a similar sort of transfer as well. So
yeah, let's chat about Sessegnon in a moment. I'm interested by that idea of going to the lower level. How low would you be happy to see Spurs go, as it were? Are we talking full limbo into non-league?
Well, if they're talented enough, and I do trust the scouts of the club, they've done a fantastic job in the past. In we've seen like Dele Alli, I think they've shown many times that they can kind of identify these top young British talents. So as I say, I wouldn't really be bothered how low we went. Of course, we signed Kione Tete from Notts County. I think it was League One or Two. So I don't think it really matters, to be honest.
No.
And when we're looking at Ryan Sessegnon, he, of course, technically now is playing in the Championship, although he was a Premier League player with Fulham this year. Yeah. How likely is this? We were hearing rumours on Twitter that his brother has been around Tottenham, which is bizarre.
Yeah. I think this is a deal that will happen. He's a guy that we've obviously been looking at for some time now, for many years. And he had a difficult year at Fulham. Of course, the whole Fulham team was very difficult. It had a very tough time. I think they had three different managers, so that's never easy for a young player.
When your front two are allegedly fighting whilst doing yoga,
exactly.
I think you have a problem.
Exactly. So I think it's. I think he showed in the year before in the Championship that he's clearly got a lot of talent. So what would you make of the signing?
He's clearly good enough for the Premier League. Obviously struggling with Fulham, but obviously also as well, he's quite a versatile player.
Yep.
Can play fullback, left wing, whatever it is, right wing.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing.
Yeah.
But as we've seen with Dyer, it can also be a curse because you can find yourself in a situation of not knowing what someone's best position is. If you sign Sessegnon, where do you think Pochettino will play him?
I can see him being sort of a Danny Rose type of role, so an attacking fullback.
Yeah,
he's obviously got pace, so I think he'd fit in really well there.
I think spot on. I think that he'll be kind of the guy as I think he's seen as a long term successor to Danny Rose. I think for now we'd still say that Danny Rose is still good enough for Spurs.
Yeah,
and still would be the number one choice left back. But I think Ryan Sessegnon, of course, young English, so he's a guy I'd like to have around the club for a while.
So if you spent upwards of 25 mil. On Ryan Sessegnon, and you kept Danny Rose, who's first choice?
It's got to be Rose, I think.
You say Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, look, we'd be signing Sessegnon, as you said, for versatility. I think that he offers you, again, he's another forward option, potentially. I think he could also make a very good wing back in case we wanted to play five at the back.
Yeah.
And I think that, and of course, and just a simple left back. So for me, I think it would be Danny Rose that would remain the number one choice. But I think Ryan Sessegnon would be a great option.
Well, with that in mind, we here at Love Sport Radio were able to reveal from some of our sources last week that Crystal Palace have made contact with Fulham about Sessegnon. Tottenham haven't. Nobody else have. So it's possible he's got that deal on the table. If he went to Palace, I imagine Roy Hodgson would be able to make him the promise of, listen, you're the main man, you start every week, and you might start in a more attacking role than you would at Spurs. Would you be worried about competing with them for a player?
I don't think there's anything to worry about with Palace competing with them, with all due respect, but...
Yeah.
With all due respect, no respect.
It depends what we're offering him. I think that we can certainly offer him a lot in terms of fantastic facilities to develop his talents. Of course, Hotspur Way, absolutely the best training facilities.
Pint glasses that fill up from the bottom.
Exactly. And Pochettino. I think any young player, any English young player is going to have looked at the likes of Harry Kane, Harry Winks, and seen that this guy is so fantastic at developing younger talent. And I certainly think that that's going to be the case with Ryan Sessegnon. I think he's going to certainly really be attracted to Spurs by the fact that he'll get to work under a manager like Poch.
Mm. And also, I think having Danny Rose as sort of a mentor, I think that could really help him as well.
Yeah, for sure.
One fascinating thing about Spurs' transfer activity so far is you're only being linked with one or two players in each position. You're being consistently linked with them. What's odd about that is for other clubs, let's take West Ham. We know West Ham want a striker. So West Ham have been linked with everyone who's ever scored a goal in Europe, which basically means the nation's journalists don't have the blindest clue who West Ham are after. They know they want a striker. They know they want a decent one. Right, Maxi Gomez, Andrea Belotti, Wesley Morais, anyone who's ever kicked a football. With Spurs, you seem to be focused, which is allowing the journalists to focus. That's encouraging. But equally, if Poch is focused on these specific targets, what happens if he doesn't get them?
I think there's certainly alternatives there. I think certainly when we're looking to replace Eriksen, there's Donny van der Beek, Giovanni Lo Celso, there's the guy from Roma,
Zaniolo.
That's the one. So there's certainly other options. I think with central midfield, Dombele, he seems to be the only target. It is slightly worrying because, you know, we do need to be getting in the exact players that Pochettino wants. I do take your point. I think that it is maybe a worry that we might miss out on these number one targets.
Maybe Poch is sort of sending a message to Levy, look, I want these players and you're going to get them for me.
Yeah, I think that that's also, the Daniel Levy now has to go and get the number one target. This is now, he's got a massive... Look, Pochettino has been here 5 years now, so Daniel Levy really has to go and make a big statement for Pochettino to go and match his ambitions. And I think he does that by going and getting the exact players that Pochettino is asking for.
And if he fails to do that, could we be looking at a falling out between the manager and the chairman?
It's very possible. Poch has, he's already said that he wants back in this transfer window. Mm. And I think if Levy fails to deliver even one or two players he really wants, I think we could be looking at Pochettino leaving, possibly.
Yeah, potentially. I think that, as I said, I think he is under a lot of pressure now to deliver, certainly from the supporters, which I do think a lot of the time it is unfair, the criticism that Daniel Levy does get. But I think we've always said it. It's a massive, massive summer for Spurs. We're kind of in a limbo of, you know, we've always come so close, second in the Premier League, second in the Champions League. And it's kind of like, when are we eventually going to get over the line? And
always the bridesmaid, Jamie.
Well, exactly. And we've got to make sure that we're the number one, you know, we're the number one winning team. So, and I think it's about getting the number one targets in for Poch.
Absolutely. And talking of weddings, we should say that last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs can't be with us because he's in Mexico on his honeymoon. Congratulations, Ricky. We look forward to having you back in the studio. If any of you would like to get in touch about any of these potential Tottenham signings or anyone you'd like to see at the club, get in touch. That number to call is 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us as well. And coming up, it's time for your Legend of the Week.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the two Jamies, and it's time for their Legend of the Week. Who have you gone for this week, gents?
We have chosen Jermaine Defoe. I think he's kind of a player that was more in our era. So, what a player he was. I think he was a fantastic striker. I think he was around at the time when we had a lot of very good strikers. I think similar time, Robbie Keane, Dimitar Berbatov. So I think Spurs were kind of blessed at that time with some really great strikers. And Defoe was kind of the first player that was my first favourite Spurs player. He's a guy that definitely will always have a very special place in my heart. Absolutely fantastic goal scorer. I think that, you know, his movement, his finishing ability was just absolutely brilliant.
He's still going, by the way.
Is it?
He was on loan at Rangers this season. Oh, that vegan diet, keeping him going at the grand old age of 36. He's also got an OBE, so he's absolutely flying. Yeah. In terms of national honours, did you feel that he deserved a bit more opportunity for England? 56 caps, 20 goals. It's a good return.
Without a doubt, he should have been.
Yeah,
like, he reminds me a little bit of Harry Kane with his finishing ability. Yeah. And obviously he's our top striker at the moment.
Yeah, so I think there was that moment when was it Theo Walcott that was picked ahead of him at the 2006 World Cup?
So. A 17-year-old Theo Walcott who had never kicked a football in the top division and had barely kicked one in the Championship. Yeah. It's the equivalent, by the way, of Jack Clarke going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think also that another player that he does remind me of actually at Spurs, and I did see it on Twitter actually, was Lucas Moura. I think that he's a guy that steps up in big games. I think if you look at it, it was comparing some of his finishes against Huddersfield, it was very, very Jermaine Defoe-esque. And yeah, I always remember Jermaine Defoe as just like the top goal scorer at Spurs.
Good to nick him off West Ham as well. Just as a final note on Defoe, best goal he ever scored or your favourite?
I think we have to give a shout. I've just remembered he is our top European goal scorer. I've just remembered it's Harry Kane. How embarrassing.
almost as if he's got every Tottenham record.
Yeah, so that's a bit embarrassing. But for me, my favourite goal, it was a game that I was there. It was at Watt Hot Lane. Unfortunately, we lost the game 3-1 to Manchester United, but it was his bicycle kick that he scored. I think it was in the first half. We went 1-0 up. And actually, I got to meet him after that game and absolutely made my day. So what a guy.
Wonderful stuff. Well, bicycle kicks, trickery and lethal poaching. That's why Jermaine Defoe is your Legend of the Week.
This is Love Sport.
And turning our attentions back to current Tottenham players, the links between Kieran Trippier and Europe's elite are not going away, which is interesting. We're hearing that there could now be a bidding war between Juventus and Napoli for a man who Spurs don't want. Are you guys wrong?
Oh, Well, I think the first of all is the question is, do you think the fan, Jamie, do you reckon the fans have been maybe a bit harsh on Trippier?
I feel a bit sorry for Trippier, to be honest. He's had a brilliant World Cup with England last summer. Maybe a bit mentally, physically fatigued. Just hasn't been able to hit the heights of the World Cup this season. So I do feel for him, but I think maybe it is time for him to move on. Mm. I think there's other replacements out there that we can sort of take the team to a different level. What do you think?
I think, to be honest, he had a very tough season. I've always been under the impression that he's never really quite been the level that Spurs need. And for me, I'm always looking at athletic fullbacks, and I think we look at the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold as a great example of a player of the sort of fullback that Spurs need to be kind of targeting, and Trippier just hasn't really ever been that. He's not really the most athletic of players. He's got a fantastic cross on him, but defensively, I think there's certainly question marks. I don't think he's quite the level for Spurs, but. Yeah, and I have to admit, I do find it quite odd that the likes of Juve and Napoli are after him.
So if you do let him go, keeping in mind that he's another of Spurs' homegrown talents, who do you replace him with? Do you look homegrown again?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always said the number one, well, aside from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, of course, I think we know he's going to Manchester United. I think for me is Max Aarons from Norwich. I think he was EFL Young Player of the Year last year.
Is he that good? Because I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on Max Aarons, but he feels like one of these players where everyone suddenly gets linked to him. Everyone starts saying he's good. So we all assume he's brilliant. Hmm. He's not played in the Premier League.
No, I think, what is he? He's 19. So I think that he's worth the risk. I do see that. I have to admit, I'm not like totally the expert on him, but I have seen, from what I've seen of him, he is the type of player that I would like to see at Spurs. He seems like a very talented player and guy that certainly could be at Spurs for many years to come. So I think that he's kind of the number one option for me.
Mm, would you echo that, Jamie?
Yeah, definitely. I think him at right back, Sessegnon at left back, what a dream pair that would be.
And obviously on the youth front, really exciting in the sense that you could sort your entire wing-back situation for the next decade. Equally, you're buying two kids there who aren't the finished article, who won't necessarily be the most confident, the most self-assured. Would you feel confident backing, you know, literally bookending your defence with teenagers?
I don't think Sessegnon would straight get Danny Rose out of the team. So I think you'd say that Danny Rose would be there. But I think the crucial thing is again, we'll come on to in a minute, it's Toby Alderweireld. And I think that having him and Jan Vertonghen, I think that's going to give any fullback certainly the confidence to go and impress, I think. But Spurs are a club that have always given younger players a chance. So I don't worry that we're potentially bringing in a younger player. And Pochettino does exactly the same. So I don't have any concerns about Max Aarons potentially being drafted in.
Encouraging time to be a Spurs fan. Encouraging time to be an England fan as well. Because at the Women's World Cup, it is still Norway 0, England 1, as Nikita Paris goes close at the back post with a thumping header. She's looking very, very lively. She could have had a couple updates for you throughout our shows this evening. I think, whisper it, three lines could be going through here, but not the only Spurs player we're talking about, because Toby Alderweireld is still being linked with a potential move away from Tottenham. There wasn't really any genuine interest last summer. No. There was a lot of rumours, a lot of whispers. Is someone going to come in this year?
I think there's a very real chance of something happening. He's available for £25 million before the last 2 weeks of the window. So, look, clubs are going to come in and offer that. It just depends on who. And there still doesn't seem to be sort of that level of interest, the real big boys that are going to come and take us, that will be able to attract Toby Alderweireld.
Sell him this summer?
No, because, you know, he's £25 million. I think me and Jason did say that he's a guy that potentially we would have taken the hit on at £60 million last summer, given that there was talk that he'd fallen out with Pochettino. You've got £60 million for a player who now is available for £25 million. And for me, Toby's certainly worth more than £25 million and worth keeping for another year.
I think clubs would be silly not to go in for him. Yeah. For 25 million, that's an absolute steal. But yeah, we've got players like Sanchez who can easily fill in for him. I'm a big fan of Sanchez.
It is Norway 0, England 2, and Ellen White does not mess around. Forget about Alex Morgan scoring 56 against Thailand. She is still in the race for the Golden Boot as she does her absolutely terrible glasses-wearing celebration. No, it's, I think it's about glasses. She, as a glasses-wearer, she just feels the need to point out she's wearing contacts. And I, as a glasses-wearer, can point out that's a really rubbish way of celebrating a goal. She is onside. It's a great ball across the face of goal from the electric Nikita Paris. And the Lionesses are cruising at 2-0. The most fantastic thing about Ellen White, and we can see it in the replay here, is every time she scores a goal, the celebration's rubbish, but she looks so surprised. She looks delighted, and she just turns to her nearest teammate and goes, how did that happen? I did it again. The ball's in the back of the net, and we're winning 2-0 in a World Cup quarter final. Very, very good. We've got a caller on the line into the show. Remember, you can get in touch on 0208 7020 558. James is getting in touch from Essex. James, you're concerned about the form at the end of last season.
Hi, guys. Yes, love the show. Brilliant. Cheers. Great to hear it every week. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I am. I think we shipped loads of goals towards the end of the season. Mm. And everybody's going on about, we've got to keep Toby, really got to keep him. And I don't know, I'm thinking, was it him or was it the defensive partnership or was it Poch's tactics? Because I'm just concerned we could start. I know I'm very excited about the new signings and hopefully that has the impact we want, but it wasn't a good end, really, apart from Champions League.
I agree. I think that... I did say 2 weeks ago, I think I said that maybe we were kind of, because we were in the Champions League, we were kind of always looking ahead to that. I kind of felt the West Ham game, which we lost 1-0. We were playing Ajax during midweek. So it kind of felt as though maybe we were doing a bit of prioritising. And that's the issue, is that we were having to prioritise. And the likes of Liverpool, Manchester City didn't have to do that because they have the options. And for me, that's certainly why we kind of fatigued.
But I was also a bit concerned. I think it was the Burnley match was one of the first matches we lost. And it seemed from that moment, we just didn't know how to break teams down or they all figured us out.
Do you think there was a bit of psychological cracking, James? Because obviously in that Burnley game, we saw Poch out on the pitch at the end of the game, getting very angry with Mike Dean. Did the whole team start to wobble?
You know, I hadn't considered that because I thought it was so early in the season. Mm. Well, not early, but... way too close to sort of really be challenging for the title, but maybe Poch and the guys did think that. Maybe they had that mentality and it was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know. Maybe they downed tools after that. But I'm just concerned they carry that in the next season. It's going to be a little bit of a moaning start for some.
Well, as we've said, this summer is so important for bringing in new players, and I feel as though, especially that Burnley game and other games, it felt like we were kind of losing control. We didn't really ever get a grip on those sort of games, and I think that if you're that Ndombele, I think a guy that we've spoken so much about, I think that he's the sort of player that you need to be bringing in. So you've really got that extra steel in midfield, a guy that he clearly looks as though he's got the ability to come in and control a game. And that's something that I have to agree. I think Spurs were certainly lacking and it certainly showed against Burnley and certainly other games towards the end.
James, what's the solution?
Ooh, I was wondering that myself, and I just thought, is it something that Poch is going to have to do a plan two or plan B maybe? Because we really struggled. It's not just everybody just parked the bus and we couldn't get through. And so I think he's going to need another option.
Yeah, time for a bit of pragmatism, perhaps. James, thanks ever so much for
Thank
your
you, James.
Call. James there getting in touch from Royden in Essex on 0208 7020 558. Remember, you can WhatsApp us as well. And coming up, surprise, surprise, a few more transfers.
This is Love Sport.
Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio. It's half time. England 2, Norway 0 in the quarter final of the Women's World Cup. As things stand, England will be facing the winner of USA versus France in the semi final. And we're talking all things Tottenham and specifically Christian Eriksen flirting with Real Madrid, who have all of a sudden started playing hard to get.
I think it's looking slightly weird for kind of a difficult situation at the moment for Eriksen. I think that obviously he came out with those the comments about maybe trying for a new challenge. I think there was a lot of talk about whether he did the right thing to do that. I think for me, he was entitled to do that. And I think he was respectful. I think he said he certainly had a lot of respect for Spurs still, and he'd certainly sign a new contract if the likes of Madrid, his dream move, didn't come about. And I think it's he's kind of been left in a precarious position at the moment now, where Real Madrid have kind of backed off a bit. So.
Yeah, and I can understand why he's come out and said that as well, because he's what, 26, 27 now?
27, yeah.
So he's at a point in his career where he obviously feels he wants to be winning trophies, Champions Leagues, which Tottenham obviously are trying to do, but I think when Real Madrid come calling, it's almost impossible to turn them down.
You can't blame anyone for wanting to go to Real Madrid, and certainly Eriksen, you know, he hasn't actually got any loyalties to Spurs, with maybe different to like.
Should
Harry
he
Kane.
Not have some loyalties to
no,
Spurs?
No, I mean it as though, you know, Harry Kane obviously came to the academy, grew up a Spurs fan. Harry Winks grew up a Spurs fan. So I mean that sort of loyalties. Christian Eriksen has been a fantastic player for us for 6 years, and he's been such a big part of why we are here today. And you know what, I said a lot on Twitter, I do think he gets a lot of stick wrongly. I think he had a very difficult season, and I think that's partly, I think a lot of them had a difficult season. I think Dele had a difficult season, Harry Kane maybe had a difficult season, and I do think that came from the World Cup. Of course they went straight into the season. And they're having to feel so heavily relied upon, because we didn't quite have the options, so there was not real chance to rest Kane, to rest Ali, to rest Dele Alli, to rest Christian Eriksen. So I think a lot of them, especially Eriksen, he was asked to play different roles, so was Dele. So I think that they did have difficult seasons.
Could you see Eriksen trying to push a move through?
Yeah. It's sort of similar to the Modric situation when he wanted to leave. I think Chelsea came in for him. I can't see Eriksen doing that myself. He doesn't seem that sort of type of person. I think it would be sad to see him go if he does, but I think he'd be absolutely fine staying at Tottenham as well at the same time.
I think that's it. He's certainly said enough to suggest that he's more than happy to stay at Tottenham. And it is the case of you can't say no. It's very difficult to say no to Real Madrid. So, for me, I can't blame him.
Is there any world in which he burns his bridges at Tottenham, where he angers the fans, Real Madrid aren't interested? What does he do then?
Well, I'd say he kind of has burnt his bridges a bit, maybe.
A minute ago, you were saying he was very respectful.
Not for me. Not for me. Certainly hasn't burnt his bridges for me. I'm saying that a lot of the reaction on Twitter is that they're very disappointed with what he said. They kind of feel as though he didn't need to come and say it just after the Champions League final, when Spurs supporters were still hurting. Maybe it was kind of the wrong timing. But
why are you so forgiving of that, Jamie?
Because, as I said, it's, you know, he's delivered us 6 fantastic years at Spurs, and I think that it's always very difficult to say. I think he's always had that dream of going to Real Madrid. I think he's done enough for Spurs to be able to earn that move. And in a way, I think for Spurs it could work out. If Eriksen stays, then you keep a fantastic player who I believe will be back to his best when he's had a full rest over the summer. And potentially brought in other options, which mean he doesn't have to drop deeper. So I think that there's that. If he's great, if he stays, if he doesn't, then I think that you're going to get £80 million, and certainly you'll be able to go and sign some alternatives that Pochettino clearly looks as though he's looking to do.
And so if you do let him go, who are those alternatives?
Well, one of the main names is Lo Celso, I think. Similar sort of player with the videos I've seen on YouTube. So I didn't have a clue who he was before, to be honest. But he looks a decent player to me.
Yeah, so I think with Lo Celso, it's that he's as we've said on the show, he's a versatile player, and that's a player that Pochettino likes. I think that Spurs, we might see a change of formation at Spurs next year. I think we'll play like a 4-4-2 diamond. So I think we'll be a focus on having central midfielders. And Lo Celso can kind of offer you those different options.
Is he £70 million worth of decent?
No. Was he on loan? He was a loan at PSG.
Yeah,
and then...
so they brought him for £25 million pounds this summer. So they're definitely making a very quick profit. But I think with PSG, it's a difficult time because I think he was played in more of a defensive role. And I think, as we know, he's more of an attacking player. So it was difficult for him.
Callum is calling into the show from Essex. He wants to give his take on Eriksen. Callum, is he staying?
I don't know. He's been sitting on the fence for probably a season and a half now and trying to dilly-dally about. But he's always said that he wanted to go to a big team. And he's always said from the start of his career, even when he went on loan or trial.
Are Spurs not a big team, Callum?
It's not that we're not a big team, but obviously we're still fighting to get into that higher bracket of teams like your Real Madrid, your Barcelonas.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.